Well, we've had some situations in our Sunday school lessons and other things that we are dealing with that has brought this subject to mind, and that is the guidelines that Christ gave us for judgment. So let's notice in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 7, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." This is a lot of wisdom in these words. And first of all, let's notice what it is not saying. It is not saying that we are to be without judgment, but that we are to just, that we're just to go along with everything. Well, the Bible says you're not to judge, so therefore, if you want to be an alcoholic, I'm not to say anything about that. If you want to be a liar, I'm not saying anything about it. And that's not what the Bible says. Let me give you some example of this. There are law enforcement officials, policemen, others. They enforce the laws, they know what the laws are, and they uphold the laws, but they're not to judge. See, they're not to judge. And there are people that live their lives lawfully. There are organizations that abide by the laws, but they're not to judge. But they know what the right thing is to do, and therefore they follow those guidelines. So this is the area. We know who our judges are. We elect them. And even though that we would be law-abiding, that does not make us the judge. So kind of get that in your mind, that just because Christ says don't be a judge, it doesn't mean that you're not to use good judgment in what you do. And if you're not to judge, why, it's okay for you to break the speed limit. No, it's not what it's saying. But we're not to set ourselves up as the judge, that we are not the judge. In James chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" God is the giver of his laws. God is the one who will judge us for how we keep his laws. However, Matthew 28:20 says that we are to teach people to observe the laws of God. We are to teach people to observe all things that he has commanded. You don't have to be a judge to do that. And then in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and there in verse 6, it says, "We command you," so the judge is commanding us, "brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Somebody says, well, you're not to judge, so therefore you're never to dismiss anybody from the church roll. We are under commandment from the judge that when a person is walking contrary to God, they're no longer to be a part of the church. We're not to judge, he is. We're just following the commandment. So I hope you get the drift here of the difference. So we're to uphold God's orders, God's standards, and God's commands, but we're never to set ourselves up as the judge. We're to obey the judge. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 4, Romans chapter 14, and there in the fourth verse, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." We're not authorized to judge, though we are commanded to obey the master. We're servants, we're not the master. And we alone, the master alone has the authority. And here's the big thing, the omniscience. He knows everything. We don't. I don't care how much you know, you don't know everything. And that's where we are not qualified to be the judge, even though we are to follow the guidelines of the judge. He alone knows. So in verse 10, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Why judge then? We're all going to be judged by God, the judge. So why should we think we need to do it? We will all get proper judgment at the right time, as it says in verse 11. It is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now there are a lot of things in life that you cannot just turn to your Bible and find a verse of scripture. For example, a preacher one time, of course you get into this, a lot of times people want to throw things out, but this guy said to this preacher, he said, well, you say that smoking is wrong. And the preacher says, well, what brand do you smoke? He said, Camels. He said, well, there's no verse in the Bible that says it's wrong to smoke a Camel cigarette. But there's a lot of things like that. If you take the overall pictures of teachings and you can understand smoking is wrong because it is a detriment to the body, and the body is a temple of the Lord, and God says not defile it. But there's a lot of things you cannot find a verse of scripture that particularly says something about that specific issue. So in cases like that, there can be various opinions that people might have. There are issues of life, and somebody says, well, what do you think about this? Well, then, you know, we always have to come up with something, even though we know nothing about it. We've just got to blab something anyway. And we got to get an opinion out there. And this is where the Lord wants us to stop. Stop. Let's put some wisdom here. Beware of being a judge. Seek the Lord to guide you. Seek the Lord to guide you. Leave it in God's hands. Things that are, well, what do you think about this? Leave it in God's hands. We don't have to make a judgment on a questionable issue. Somebody come, hey, what do you think about this? Well, yeah, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Because if it's right, it'll prove out to be right. If it's wrong, it will get judgment in due time. So we are to restrain ourselves, pull ourselves back a bit. And you and I don't have to take a position on everything. Let God shake it out, and he will. It'll all be known in due time. In the sixth chapter of Galatians, for example, in Galatians chapter 6, and there in verse 1, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I want to add to that 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. We dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Now here's an area that we have to avoid, and that is that we can begin to think, well, I'm in a good place because I can see what so-and-so is doing is not the way it ought to be. So I'm in a better place than they are. Then we can say, well, I'm in a good place because I know a better way than what they're doing. But what is that? That's actually self-righteous comparisons. My righteousness is better than their righteousness. No, we don't need to do that. That's not going to turn out to be a very good thing. And so when we are comparing ourselves to others, it's more about human righteousness than it is God's righteousness. So this little example out of the Genius book. A $100 bill is better than a $5 bill. But comparing it to a $5 bill doesn't increase the value of a $100 bill. It's still $100. So comparing something to something worse or less doesn't make it any better. But it's easy to do that. You know, we can begin to feel better about ourselves because we don't do what they do, or we don't think like they think, or we know a better way than they do. And that's one of the things, it's good to stay away from that, because our comparison needs to be, how do I stand with God? How do I stand with God? So that's the only thing we have to our credit, is what we ourselves are doing. As it says, let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. To understand where we're at, we have to examine ourselves in light of God's word, not in comparison with other people, but in light of God's word. In the 21st chapter of John, there was an incident where that, let's go back and read it in John chapter 21, and there in verse 21 and 22. Peter saith, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Christ had just told Peter that he was going to have a future of suffering and death for the cause of Christ. And so Peter then says, well, what about this guy? Jesus saith unto him in verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Very good wisdom. And for self-evaluation, let's just get everybody else out of the picture and concentrate on following the Lord. That's the wisdom that God gives us in that. In the 14th chapter of Romans, in Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, and there in the 13th verse, it says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Even with the best efforts, mistakes will be made. I'm sure you know that. In life, that no matter how hard you try, there's still going to be some things you don't get them right. So even the best hitter strikes out more than he gets a hit. Somebody says, "If I don't know if there's anybody now, since baseball season's sort of getting to the peak, I don't know if there are any hitters that actually have a 400 average or above. If they are, they're exceptional. But you know what a 400 hitter is? It means that 4 out of 10 times he gets a hit, but 6 out of 10 times he doesn't. But yet we say he's a good hitter. So we don't get it right all the time. On the battlefield, mistakes can be made. But for the sake of winning, everyone has to step up their game to get the victory. And I'm sure that there are so many, many, many mistakes that are made on the battlefield. People get in the heat of the battle, and maybe they stand up when they should be down. Maybe they make a noise when they ought to be quiet. But that doesn't mean that everybody else is going to quit then. It means that they've got to step their game up, and we've got to win the battle. So when you're committed to the cause, you not only don't want to do wrong yourself, but you're also concerned that you don't cause somebody else to make a mistake. And of course, you think about games and sports, that someone who is really in a tight game and they cause one of their teammates to mess up, and then that changes the game. They really feel bad about that. So when you're committed to the cause, like it says here, judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, be thou an example of the believers. There's no greater power of influence than examples. Examples not only teach, they inspire. So we need to heed the wisdom of our master to avoid passing judgment on each other, because we're a servant ourselves. In the 20th chapter of Matthew, and every generation, every group of servants, everybody that's ever served God, we all are human, and we all do things, and they're subject to comments and various things. But here in Matthew 20 and verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, desiring a certain thing of him. Now you have to put yourself in the place of a mother. I'm not a mother, but you know how mothers are with their kids. So here she is. These are her sons. He said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. She wanted the best for her sons. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus put, let's stop here. Let's stop the indignation. Let's do some thinking. Jesus called them unto him and said, you know, a lot of times we just need a stop sign for our indignation. We get upset about something. Get the stop sign out. Stop. Stop. So Jesus said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. They that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Humanly speaking, something like the mother requested, those things happen. We all want the best for our children, but there was not due consideration. What if all the other mothers wanted the same thing? Christ would be in a dilemma then, wouldn't he? So there wasn't the proper consideration. Now there is this statement, you've heard it many times, what would my church be if every member was just like me? That, I think, is something we always need to stop and think through. What would Faith Baptist Church be if every member was just like me? We can get focused on our interest rather than our mission. Christ said, stop. He said, get focused on your mission. Get focused on your mission. The 24th verse, this indignation. They were moved with indignation. Where did that come from? Their upset feelings. Where did that come from? It came from their judgments. That's where it came from. It is not the fact that we make mistakes. We all do. It is not the fact that we're imperfect. We all are. It's our judgments that get us upset. Those are the ones that get us out of whack. That's the very thing Christ warned us about. That will happen if we let it. When we let our judgments take control of our passions and our actions, there is a good probability that it will lead to us doing something worse than what we are upset about ourselves. It can very well do that. That's why Christ said, judge not. Judge not. In the second verse of Matthew 7, he said, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So when we judge against someone, there's also a lot of changes that take place in doing that. And a lot of attitudes change when we do that. They were moved with indignation. That was judgment. Over in James chapter 5 and verse 9. In James chapter 5, and there in verse 9, it says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So when we are judging against somebody, the indignation arises within us, and then it becomes a grudge, and it can go from one thing to another. These changes are what trouble us. It's not what the issue is necessarily, but it's the changes that happens to us when we start judging. They get control of us, and they will in many times take us down a wrong path. So Christ said, don't do it. Don't do it. In the 15th chapter of Acts, we have another example. It doesn't always happen between the real good and the real bad. It can happen between the real good. And so here in Acts chapter 15 and verse 36, it says, some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas, and notice this word, determined. Barnabas determined. This is it. Nothing else. This is it. Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Now, Mark was his nephew. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by their brethren unto the grace of God. Determined means he would not consider anything else. That was it. Verse 38, thought not, means he had reason for his position, but Barnabas wasn't open for that. And so in verse 39, by judgment, they became divided. I remember as a child growing up in church, you know everything by the good and the bad. A person's either good or they're bad. A situation's either good or it's bad. And that's what judgment does. It creates that. To where that it comes to a point to where with the Paul and the Barnabas and the situation as it is, well, there's the good and there's the bad. Isn't that so sad? But it happens. It happens because of judgment. I know when I was a kid, we had friends in church, and occasionally I would go to their house on a Sunday afternoon and then come back to church on Sunday night, and they would come to my house. Well, one of my friends, as far as judgment was concerned, his mom was bad. In my mind, he was bad because I heard judgments against his mom. So she's bad. Well, when I got to their house, she treated me fine. Everything was good. And I'm confused. Well, this is not bad, but yet it's bad. So what do you do with that? Well, I think a lot of times that's what happens. is not really bad, but yet it is bad. That's what judgments creates. It creates an impasse, something that just is not workable, something that will not turn out to be a good thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and there in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another man's wealth. Let's go down to verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense. That's what judgments do. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles. And the biggie is, it always affects the church, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So because of judgments, what should be a common cause, everybody working together, it can get lost sight of because of judgments. In the 13th chapter of John, and there in verse 34 and 35, John 13:34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And this important thing, by this, in other words, people are watching, people are taking notes, people are thinking, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. For the sake of why we're left here on earth, we must not let this get away from us. It must not be expendable. When our judgments are made subject to genuine interest in one another, we can work through our problems. That's how marriages survive. That's how families get along. That's how children get along. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. I want to go to Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, and there in verse 19, it says, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Wise unto that which is good. This is what is to be predominant with us. This is what we should choose to control us, that which is good. Simple concerning evil. Choose not to let it control us, but rather overcome it. How does God do it? You know, if you think about everything that God sees, he sees the good, bad, and the ugly, and there's not a whole lot that he can look at that's really good when he looks down upon mankind. How does he do it? Well, he's able. And that's what he offers us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He offers us his ability. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Just as God can look down on us this morning, see all of our faults and our failures, and not strike the church with lightning and burn us up. Just as God can go on being God, he can go on doing the things, he can go on and give us the victory in life. He says, I can do it for you. I can do it for you too. In the book of Jude, And they're in verse 24 and 25. The book of Jude, and they're in verse 24 and 25. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Doesn't that sound good? He is able to keep us from falling. He is able to present us faultless, not perfect in ourselves, but we can be found faithful, faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know, you're only happy when you're on the right side of things. You're only happy at that point. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. So, we have to exercise decisions. We have to keep ourselves where we belong. And we're to do it to be an overcomer, due to our faith in what God can do. And God can do what I can't do. And I cannot overcome, but God can enable me to overcome. And then, of course, we have to be wise, because Christ said the measure that we use in judgment, God will use that measure against us. So if I'm pretty hard-nosed in my judgment about against somebody, God says that's going to come back on me. It'll fall back on me. James 2:13 says, he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. I hope these things will be of help to us, because we all have minds, we have decisions to make, we all have feelings, we all have conclusions, but Christ warns us, you're not to judge, you're not to judge. So don't be the judge. May we bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We're thankful for these words of wisdom. We know that they are words that we can live by, we can overcome by, and we must make sure that we're very wise when it comes to these matters in life. The devil, on the other hand, is the one that will use everything against us. All of our knowledge, he'll use it against us. All of our passions, he'll use it against us. So we have to make sure that we keep ourselves within the bounds that you give us. We ask for your Holy Spirit to give the invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.